Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? Unlike a car with its user's manual, we are born without instructions how to live. We experience life vicissitudes without a so-called user's manual. The Gita has been described as such a guide. These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda, which he has been delivering for more than 25 years. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing Chapter 6, Yoga of Meditation. And we have seen the detailed instruction for meditation in this chapter. And what we have seen so far, that in the quest of meditation, to achieve that oneness with myself, the essential part is the control of the mind. The mind control, which also gives me the control over my senses, and this control over the senses and mind will make my mind equanimous to see the equality in this world. And this vision of oneness in many will take me to my ultimate goal of finding unbroken happiness. Finding that myself and the selves, other selves in this world, are not two different entities, but the manifestation of the one Supreme Self. This realization is the goal of life, as our scriptures tell us. And even though Krishna's arguments were very, and instructions were very convincing, Arjuna had a doubt that the nature of the mind is very fickle and it's very chanchal, very, transitory, that it goes from one thought to another. And therefore, he thought that this firmness of mind to see this oneness in this world may not be very easy or may not be even achievable. And Bhagavan answered his question saying, yes, it is difficult for the asanyat atmana, for the people who have no control over the senses and not control over the mind, it is very difficult. However, with the constant practice, once I am convinced that this is the goal of my life, by constant practice, abhyasena tukamteya vairagyena chagruhyate, it can be achieved by those who have no doubt, asansayam, those who have no doubt about this goal of life, that by the practice, by constant practice, churning over this idea that myself and the other selves are not two different selves, but the manifestation of the same self. Contemplating on this thought, who am I? What is the nature of myself? How is it related to the selves, and the Supreme Self will lead me to that realization that there is no difference between myself and yourself and his self and herself. So now Arjuna is convinced with Bhagavan's answer. His doubt is clarified, his confusion is dispelled, that this is unachievable goal, just an utopian idea without any basis in reality. He's convinced that by practice, anything can be achieved. Just as the English proverb says, the practice makes a man perfect. You can achieve anything if you practice long enough or enough time that it becomes part of you. Just like riding a bike. First time when you try to learn that bicycle, it is very, very difficult. It almost seems like we will never get a handle on it. More and more you practice, easier it becomes. You know, one of those quote by Yogi Berra, I guess the famed baseball player, who said that more I practice, luckier I get. It seems to others that he's getting luckier, that he's hitting many balls, but in reality he's hitting those strokes because he has been practicing more. So therefore he said, more I practice, luckier I get. So, by practice, abhyasana, a constant study and a practice, Bhagavan said it can be achieved. This control on the senses can be achieved. This control on the mind can be achieved. And the goal of realizing yourself is achievable. So Arjuna is now convinced that seemed to be not a problem. But now he has another doubt. When somebody says, Neil, if you can practice long enough, you will be able to achieve this thing. I asked my music teacher. Obviously, I don't practice anymore, but in those days when I was excited about learning music a little more, or vocals rather, a little more methodically, I started learning, and I myself realized I'm not really making much progress. I asked my teacher and say, Subhashish, how long should I practice, you know, so that I can get a desired results? And Subhashish said, I practice now at his level of mastery 5 hours a day. And then he said, you decide for yourself how long you need to practice. So I came to the conclusion, if I have to become any good, I have to practice more than Subhashish practice every day, which is more than 5 hours a day. And that, I came to the conclusion, is never going to happen. I have a full-time job, a profession which is completely different than music, and to master this art of vocals, I probably will never have enough time in my day or in my life. So I did obvious. I stopped learning music or vocals. And the result, obvious, I still sing at the same level of imperfection I used to sing before I took lessons. So Bhagavan said, you can practice long enough and get control of this mind. And now the doubt is, do I really have time to practice long enough to get this control over my mind? Now this is a universal doubt. You and I and everyone else have the same doubt. But Arjuna vocalized the doubt for us. And he says, Ayatihi Sraddhaya Upetaha Yoga Chalitamanasaha Aprapya Yoga Sansiddhim Kam Gatim Krishna Gacchade. As I said, I asked my teacher, how long should I practice? And he said, you decide for yourself, 5 hours a day is my goal. No, you decide your goal. So I started thinking that maybe if I practice only 1 hour a day, will that get me anywhere? Or 30 minutes a day, will that get me anywhere? And in reality, I did do that exactly. In those years, I practiced at least 30 minutes a day or 1 hour a day, even though I couldn't get more than that. But in about few years, maybe a couple of years, I started seeing a noticeable improvement in my singing. others people who, obviously, I was a party singer. I'd go in a social party and sing bhajans. And people have started noticing that my singing has improved, you know, considerably. But then, obviously, I come to the same doubt. Well, how long and what level of improvement I will have if I just continue at this very limited amount of practice. And then obviously I came to the same conclusion, maybe it's not worth it. Other things are more important in life. So I gradually stopped practicing vocals. So Arjuna has a similar doubt and say, what happens to those people who have ayatihi sraddhaya upetaha? They are possessed with faith. They have faith in these teachings. They have faith in your advice that practicing this over and over and over again for a long period of time, you will be able to achieve that control. But do I have that time? My life seemed to be very limited. I was born at time T1, which everybody calls my birth date. And just by statistics, I came to the conclusion that I will die probably around at the age somewhere between 70 and 80. I tell my insurance agents who come to me and say, but Neil, if you take this option, then this insurance goes up to when you will be 80. And if you do take this option, it will go up to when you're 90. The premium differences would be this. And I tell them, look, let's be clear about this. I am an Indian origin person. And in other words, I was born in India with Indian parents. And looking at all my other peers and my uncles and my father and other, they haven't made it beyond 60, 65, maximum 70. Thinking about 80 and 90 seemed like an unachievable dream to me. So why are we wasting our time in talking about what happens when I'm 80 or what happens when I'm 90? Well, let's focus on what we need to do if I live up to 70 or maybe 75 or 78. And see what is the reasonable plan for me. And obviously the broker will laugh and say, Neil, that's not true. Oh, you may live a long life. But I said, well, yeah, but I don't think I should be planning that way. If I live longer, there will be a bonus. But right now, let's plan that I may not be around. Beyond 75, 78, maybe. So Arjuna says, I have the same doubt. I may be practicing, but by end of my life, I may not have achieved that mastery over my mind. So what happens to such a yogi who has been practicing with faith, but he cannot achieve the yoga sansiddhim, the perfection in yoga, because he runs out of time in this life? Or he falls from the yoga form, any other reason, you know. And he fails in his quest for attaining perfection. What happens to them? And he says, my fear is that the people who do not achieve that success or perfection, he completely gets lost. Well, just like in our day-to-day life, in our professional life, in our social life, we obviously see that the reward only goes to the successful. Now, in Olympics, there are 80 contestants in any game. 77 of them will fall out somewhere in the path of achieving that Olympic medal, either gold, silver, or bronze. And only 3 of them will eventually reach that goal. of achieving a medal. So what happens to other 77 who had fallen on the way to this journey to the medal? Well, most of us never hear about them, most of us never remember them, we'll only remember the winner. So we have come to the conclusion that winner takes all type of a system we live in. And perfection in yoga may be something like that. That somebody who achieves perfection in this life will achieve all the benefits and the rewards as described in our shastras and in Vedanta. But what happens to most of us who will never achieve that perfection in our life? So he uses a very, very classic analogy or a simile and say, kachit na ubhaya vibhrastha chinnam abhram iva nashyati. But doesn't he get destroyed just like this summer clouds? A cloud which is, is separated from the main body of the cloud, which is now have no strength, and they are small little cloudlets or small clouds tossed around in the wind without any aim or achieving any goal. Obviously, the goal for the cloud is to rain down as shower or rain on this earth and then fulfill the desire for the thirsty earth to quench the thirst of the fields and all the vegetation. So the cloud which is separated, who is broken down, a broken up cloud, has no strength and no fulfillment. The life of that cloud seems in vain, of no achievement. So kachit na ubhaya vibhrastha chinnam abhram iva nashyati. Just as a broken down cloud gets destroyed without achieving any goal, apratistha mahabaho vimudaha brahmanapati, that O mahabaho, O mighty arm, that deluded apratistha, who is not established in the path of Brahman, does he also not get destroyed? Then now neither he has achieved any goal that he has set out to achieve, nor does he enjoy his life here. So Bhagavan is intently listening, but have not responded yet. So Arjuna makes one more plea for an absolute clarification that he has a complete faith in Krishna. This doubt is not because I don't have a faith in my teacher. Doubt is not because he doubts what Krishna has so far told him. The doubt in my mind is my limitation at this time to understand this concept, understand this advice. And the only person who can clarify and remove this doubt is my teacher alone, who has given me this knowledge, this precious knowledge which I have come to have faith in, that this is the goal of my life. And this is what will take me from this life of sorrows and happiness to the life of bliss. So he says, etanme sansayam krishnaha chittum arhasi asheshataha. This is my doubt, O Krishna. You need to remove this doubt without leaving any trace of my doubt. Tvat anyaha santayashasya चित्ता नहीं उपपद्यते. देर इज नो वन अदर देन यू हु इज कैपेबल ऑफ डिस्पेलिंग दिस डाउट इन माय माइंड. आई वॉज ए कंप्लीटली कंफ्यूज्ड पर्सन. I was going around in this world aimlessly or in a wrong direction, and you are the one who showed me the way. You know, when we get lost, when we are going from one place to another, and then once we get lost, we are like that cloud within no support. We have no support of the knowledge in which direction to go. That has happened to probably all of us, but happens to me a lot because I'm not very good at having this sense of direction. You know, so once I get lost, obviously I do not know where I'm going. So then I go stop by at some 7-Eleven. That's my favorite spot to stop by because there's always somebody there who will be willing to talk to you, and they probably know the area a little better. So you stop by the 7-Eleven and say, you know, I was going to such and such, I'm looking for this address, but seem like I'm lost. Can you tell me how to get there? And the person start telling me, oh, okay, you come out of the parking lot and then take a right turn, and then when you see the stop sign, you want to take a left turn, and then you do this and do another. And he obviously can picture all these things in his mind, so he is very articulately going out and giving me directions. Now, obviously, I'm talking about the days before GPS. The GPS can misguide you. That's another story. But in those days when there was no GPS and people like me who were relying on maps, and sometimes I don't have a map, so you tell the person, a person is trying to give you a clear direction. You're picturing this and understanding some, but you're not getting all of it. So you will bow down to him and say, oh, I think I got it. I got it that I'll come out of the parking lot and then I'll take a right turn. Then you say, did you say a stoplight or a stop sign? He said, no, stoplight. Oh, okay, now I got it. See, the stoplight, then, did you say I take left or right? And I'll ask him 6 questions before I make absolutely sure that I understood. Because I say, well, you are the one, you know this road, so please help me. I'm not very clear. He said, oh, don't worry. I'll explain to you. So once we have a guide who has given us direction, and then we have come to the conclusion that the direction will take me there, I need to clarify all my doubt without any trace. If there's one doubt I have in the direction which I received from that 7-Eleven guide, and if I don't ask the right question and go away with a little doubt in my mind, there is a complete chance that I may get lost all over again. So my goal as the receiver of the knowledge is to make sure that my teacher knows that I still have doubt, and I'm relying on him to completely clarify. Arjuna said the same thing to Krishna. Etanme sansayam Krishna, this is my doubt. What happens to the person who cannot achieve this level of perfection in yoga during this lifetime? Because this lifetime is short and limited, and the efforts require maybe more than that. So what happens? All the efforts are in vain, or that there is something salvageable here, or there is any benefit for striving in this life? Tvat anyaha sansayasya asya chetta nahi upapadyate. There is no one other than you who can dispel this doubt completely. So, O Krishna, please help me dispelling this doubt. We will stop right here. Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramayaha,
Sarve bhadrani pashyantu ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.